Jack Link's Beef Jerky never lets you down. Find it in your supermarket snack aisle.
The Dead Set Legends are back in 2020.
How excited are you?
Join former St Kilda champion Joey Montagna.
Jumping out the way, Joey Montagna.
Footy journo Jay-Z Clark.
Sugar Ray Leonard was a great boxer. I'm Sugar Jay, so that was sort of the clever play on words.
And horse racing royalty Emma Freeman.
Something about having a short reach and, you know, just not being very big. So.
It's everything you need to kickstart your weekend.
I'm up and about today.
We are live.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Every Saturday from 10 o'clock to talk all things sport. Off the top, a big thanks to Jack Link's Beef Jerky for coming on as our show sponsor. Terrific to have them on board at the moment. But a very good morning to Joey, Jay and Rosie in the studio. Good morning to you fellas and ladies.
Hello, morning, Emma. Isn't it great to start the weekend? Always great on a Saturday morning, bounce out of bed, got a couple of days off. And aren't our lawns here in Melbourne
just green, like
in brilliant condition, or fluorescent green, Joey?
Absolutely.
For the start of March, just couldn't be happier with the...
elderly neighbour's been mowing the lawns flat out for me on the nature strip lately.
The elderly neighbours are doing your lawns?
Yes, she does. She mows my lawn, so... Thank you to Sue.
We don't give that enough attention. The fact Joey's 70-year-old neighbour
mows my lawns.
It's
how do you pay her? Do you pay her in a bottle of grog or?
I always get her a Christmas present. Absolutely, and I've got the Jack Link's Beef Jerky right here too that we're going to eat during the show.
Correct.
Jay, so if you hear Jay sort of mumble his way through some of the conversations, it's because he's trying the beef jerky.
Yeah, you might not get that much out of me today. I'm just going to absolutely plow through. So I love the stuff. I tell you what caught my eye.
What caught your eye?
Yesterday, just quickly.
Yeah.
Daniel Ricciardo, obviously big talking point is the Grand Prix at the moment, right?
Yes.
And the fact that it may or may not go ahead. Well, they're saying it's going to go ahead. Daniel Ricciardo said the Ferrari team can't come out, then they shouldn't run the Grand Prix, not even as a bit of a exhibition testing style. Now, surely, for the good of the sport, it is better to run it, even if the points don't count. It is better to run it, just because I love Daniel Ricciardo, but calm the farm. We can still have...
Lucky you said calm the farm.
Yeah, I was getting close there.
I knew what I was saying. Do we agree that it should... because you're still going to get 100,000 people there to go watch
No, I don't. Not if it's not for points. If it's not for points, what's the point?
Mate, you've got
up there... But is it Ferrari's choice not to go? Rosie.
This is a St Kilda
thing. But if it's
thing.
Not for points,
they won the Wizard
people go?
Cup. They got up there on the stage and they look sad. Because it's for the benefit of everyone else.
It's got to be for the points.
Get over yourself.
I know if the Ferrari don't come, it's obviously going to be a bit of a, you know, not a legit because you're missing the big guns, but you've still got to play it. You've got to race it for points.
There's other teams play on, Rosie, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So come on, Daniel.
Got to have something to watch.
What else are we going to do?
Not to come, though. That's just their choice, isn't it? That's their safety choice.
Might be his chance to win.
No, the issue is that it might not be allowed to fly.
There'll be a compromise race, no doubt, but you've still got to race it, and for points.
So you do think we should race it?
Yeah, but you said not for, just do it as an exhibition. You've still got to do it
go
for
around
points.
For points.
Okay.
Stuff them. They're not here. We're still going ahead.
Okay. You're not listening to me.
No, well, either way, the race should go ahead. The race should go ahead.
Only if it's still going to be for points.
No, I think you can have the race without points. Oh. It's just like a pseudo-testing
thing.
Okay, coming up today, a big night at the G tomorrow night, boys. The Aussies taking on India in the Women's T20 World Cup final. All-rounder Sophie Molyneux is going to join us. The Saints' Callum Wilkie also to join us ahead of their final preseason hit-out with Collingwood tomorrow. Now, I'm really looking forward to this. Jay has his top five stories to watch out for this season.
Ooh.
We've just been through them. One of them includes a team that is most under pressure who will slide down the ladder, potentially out of the eight for the first time in years. Mm. So that's one to keep your ears across. Yeah, it is. Plus, we've got tickets to the Grand Prix if it goes ahead to give away. Stay tuned to find out how to win them. Up next, though, Jay-Z got all the footy news that you need, including some stuff about Jack Viney and that tackle yesterday. Is he in big trouble ahead of the season opener in 10 days' time? You're listening to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Dead Set Legends with Joey J and Emma for your Saturday morning. We're going to get into some footy right now. Let's kick off Jay-Z with Jack Viney. He laid a tackle on Ben Stratton yesterday that has a few people, I guess, clenching their teeth as to whether he'll be okay.
Yeah, well, obviously with the concussion issue at the moment, it's a very touchy subject, Joey. He really ploughed Ben Stratton's head, shoulder into the turf first. It was quite a tough tackle, and then the Hawks teammates all remonstrated with him. And I think there's an understanding amongst the players that you can't really do this, the driving tackle anymore. So this doesn't happen very often. But the MRO will clearly look at it. I think it's just a fine because he did bounce back up to his feet, keep playing, Joey. So that's the low-level impact. What did you think?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting test case for the year on how serious they're going to take these sort of any incidents around the head. So you're right, there was a little bit of the players flying the flag, and I just wonder, with all the talk about concussion, whether players are a little bit taken upon themselves saying, hey, we've got to look after each other here.
Good point.
We've got to look after each other a bit more. That's not on. That's not cool. Now it'll be interesting to see how the MRO go with it and the standard they set. Oh, I think, a bit like you, it'll probably be fine because Michael Christian will follow the letter of the law and just tick the boxes. But it'll be interesting to see if they do want to make a stand.
It's on the medical report, and that's going to say he's fine. He kept playing. So it's low level, if anything. Also concern for two young key forwards, Joey and Mitch Lewis. Hawthorn want to play a three-prong key forward line. He's rolled his ankle, in doubt for round one, that big game against Brisbane. And for Melbourne, Sam Wiedemann also rolled his ankle. Now, he's probably struggling to lock down that best 22 spot, but he's also in doubt for round one.
Really opens the door for the pick three, Luke Jackson, to now play as that second ruck key forward. So that's going to be fascinating. I've got a sneaky suspicion that Luke Jackson will be in the team round one.
Alongside Kasai Pickett.
Both of them. Their two top 10 picks will be in the side round one.
Let's move over to South Australia and at Port Adelaide at the moment. Their pre-season going pretty much to plan, but you hear that there's a storm brewing, Jay-Z.
Their president and coach are completely at odds with each other. We know they've rumbled in the jungle a couple of times over the past few years. Now, Koshy's been clear on the future of Ken Hinckley, and he's probably the coach most under pressure because the president has said, if you don't make finals, you're out, basically. Yep. Now, in the Herald Sun today, Ken has fired back, and he says, I get fascinated by people saying you've got to play finals. My belief is you want to win the thing. If playing finals is the end goal, then I think you are failing. Focus on the process. This is a club which has had five or six first-round picks over the past 2 years, and Kenny is saying it's not all on finals or bust,
I'm confused by that. I interpreted that, though, Ken Hinckley saying, don't worry about finals. We're here to win a flag. So the whole talk about we should play finals is almost irrelevant because we're not here to play finals. We're here to win a premiership. So isn't he setting the bar a little bit higher than just playing finals?
The mention of the word process, though, is unusual, don't you think? It's all about the process. Well, it's not.
Yeah, well, clearly there is huge pressure on Ken Hinckley.
Massive, isn't it? Agree with that.
And he's going to play some kids, clearly. So, I mean, they've gone to the draft and done quite well there, I think. But, look, I think these two guys, the president and the coach, there is some real...
My concern for Port Adelaide is that I can see them being a team that is going to be around the eight for the most of the year.
Yep.
So this talk is basically going to go on all season.
Yep.
So I don't think Port Adelaide are a team that are going to be 2-6 and they make a call and they sack Ken Hinckley and they move on. Or they're going to be a team that are going to be 12-3 and they're locked into the top four and Ken Hinckley's safe. I think they're going to be a team that's around that mark.
Yep.
So it's going to be the talk all year about Port Adelaide. And that's going to really, I think, frustrate a lot of the Port Adelaide players and supporters.
All right, Joel Selwood, fresh concerns for him at the moment?
Not playing on Monday. So if he plays in round one, we spoke to him a couple of weeks ago, said things were going well. If he plays in round one, then he's not going to have a preseason game. So whether he can get some VFL scratch match time next week or something like that, but he's not taking on the Bombers. It's going to be our first look at Jack Stephen, though.
Yep.
Joey, and you think his half forward role is the best for him?
He'll play half forward. Yep. He'll play that half forward around the stoppages and use his speed to get back to goal, try and hit the scoreboard.
Yep. It'll be interesting.
And one final thing, Hawthorn have picked up a bloke called Keegan Brooksby. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Well, South Adelaide are fuming. It was a late raid from Hawthorn on probably the best ruckman available. I think this is his fourth club now, Joey. Now, because Ben McAvoy, they're seriously going to play him at centre-half back all year, or that's the plan. They've got Johnny Segler as the ruck and Ned Reeves, who's basically still a kid, in the second ruck spot. If something happens to John Segler, Keegan Brooksby could play 10, 15 games next year, depending on the injury. So South Adelaide in the sand full of screaming, poor me, saying they've taken our best ruckman, etc. They get 10 grand as compensation. Tough luck, Joey.
Oh, I agree. Tough luck.
It's a different competition.
These second-tier competitions should want their players getting promoted to the AFL clubs. That's what they should want. So I get that they're out of a ruckman for their competition. I understand that. But they've got to look at the bigger picture. They've now got a player that they had who's getting an opportunity at AFL level. Good luck to him. And, you know, they can try and find someone else. But, Keegan Brooksby, be interesting to see if he gets a game. I think John Segler, if he does get injured, they'll go to plan B, which will be move McAvoy back into the ruck.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be, so Brooksby would be plan C.
Thank you, Jay-Z. We've got your top five storylines of the season coming up. We mentioned that there's one club who's definitely going to slide down the ladder, probably out of the eight. There's also a story about Dusty as well that you want to put on the table. That's coming up soon on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Emma for your Saturday morning. A big thanks to Jack Link's Beef Jerky. They are sponsoring our show. We're great. It's great to have them on board. And boys, it is a delicious snack that it's delicious to chew. It makes it a really great eating experience, I'm told. And it lasts longer than other snacks.
Very underrated, the beef jerky. I love it. Big fan.
Some of that teriyaki. I've eaten
most of it already, but I'll leave some for you.
Yeah, just save it for the second hour of the show. That's when we need sustenance. Let's do this.
The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Yes, the big news. Australia will take on India tomorrow in the Women's T20 World Cup Final at the MCG. We'll chat to Sophie Molyneux in the second hour, get all the how the camp's feeling ahead of the big game. Other news, Jay, the third one-day international between Australia and South Africa. Does anyone care about that?
Not so much anymore.
What is the point of that series anyway, by the way?
Well, Starkey's not that interested.
No, Starkey's not that interested.
He's come back to watch his wife, which is great.
But that game tonight is in Pochefstroom in South Africa.
Terrific pronunciation.
We did a training camp in Pochefstroom all those years ago for St Kilda back in maybe 2006.
Was that the one where everyone got in trouble?
No, this was a long time ago. That was actually great. I really enjoyed South Africa training camp. That was when Grant Thomas started those overseas training camps. Yep. The soccer, the Matildas played overnight in the Olympic qualifier. They beat Vietnam 5-0. So they've basically booked their ticket to the Tokyo Olympics. Well, they're in, but are the Olympics going to go ahead? What's your feel on that?
I think the feel now is they probably you said last week, Jay-Z, that they were probably not going to happen. But I mean, we'll talk about coronavirus, COVID-19 soon, but I think they'll go ahead. I think the world's
word
just
is they
move
won't.
On.
Word I'm hearing is the Olympics won't go ahead. Most likely it will be cancelled, the Olympics.
Delayed. Try and run it a year later.
Yep.
Yeah, but I mean,
oh geez, that's hard for an athlete if you've been up and about getting ready for August this year, and then you've got to hold your fire for another 12 months.
Anyway, we'll keep an eye on that one. But the Matildas are qualified anyway, unless they lose 6-0 in the second leg, which they shouldn't. In the tennis, also overnight, the Davis Cup qualifiers were on. Jordan Thompson and John Millman had wins to give Australia a 2-0 lead over Brazil. Footy scores overnight: AFLW, Geelong beat the Gold Coast Suns by 20 points. In round 5 action, the Gold Coast Suns in the men defeated the Crows by 7 points. Mm. 2 wins in a back-to-back wins for the Gold Coast Suns. That's great for their confidence heading into the early part of the season.
Where you got the Crows, Joey?
I've got the Crows like all those other teams.
Bottom four?
No, I don't know. I think they're going to be better than that.
You've got 10 Crows, to 8.
Yeah,
that, to
that's
eight
sort of between you know, 8 and 12 where I've got about 7 teams. Alex Sexton, a big blow, done his hamstring. He's a very, very good player. And Melbourne last night defeated Hawthorn by 32 points in Launceston. Bailey Fritch kicked 5 goals playing out of the goal square, and Jake Melksham kicked 4 goals. Oh, and the other news, the NBL, the grand final
yes, we're
series.
Out, aren't we?
I know, no one cares anymore because it's Sydney Kings and Perth Wildcats, but that starts tomorrow as well, 5 o'clock, the first game in Sydney. So our Melbourne United defeated by 2 points, heartbreaking. They got
we
a bad
gave
run.
It a good go, didn't
yeah,
we,
we
though?
Did. Bad run with the refereeing, I reckon, late in that game. But their season's over. They blew it in the first game. Game one, they're up 16 points with 6 minutes to go. They blew it. But Sydney Kings versus Perth Wildcats.
What about the Wildcats? They must be Australia's
eight out of 11 years they're in the grand final.
Yeah, they're the wonder team, aren't they?
Unbelievable.
Jay-Z, you got to pick one for us?
Yes, and I did text this to Joey at about 9 o'clock last night, and he only got back to me at 9 a.m. this morning. So it was a good. He's had 12 hours to think about.
Oh, yeah, must be rested
not
as well.
Not your best one.
And steer on this front. So
not your best
so
one.
So it was a neglect text because he wasn't into it.
When you know when your mates just don't just flat out ignore you, you know, do you send the follow-up text? Do you go back, hey, mate, any danger of a response? Or I mean, we've done that at times, I guess.
I'm guessing you do that. I don't know.
I thought about it. Pick one of these two burgeoning superstars, Joey and Em. Christian Petrarca or Jordan DeGoey? Who would you rather, if you could only pick one? We're seeing Petrarca become a fully fledged on baller this year.
Yeah.
You know, Jordan is one of the most devastating forwards in the competition. Hasn't made that midfield transition yet. If you only had to pick one.
Can I paint a visual here? Joey's rolling his eyes.
Are we putting this one on, Em, are we putting this one online, on the socials? Because if we put it on the socials, the fans will agree with me. I think it'll be 85-15
split. Degoey?
Absolutely.
Degoey. Yeah, I'm with you, Joey.
Absolutely.
Why? Explain. Elaborate, please.
Well, Petrarca's not even in Degoey's league at the moment. You're basing it on, what, his Marsh series game last week where he had 37 disposals.
He's ready.
He might be by the end of the year. He might be by the end of the year, but at the moment he's not close. He hasn't done it yet consistently like Jordan Degoey.
Well, Degoey not top 10 in Collingwood's best and fairest last year. I reckon Christian Petrarca's past couple of years in an ordinary Melbourne side, or last year was ordinary, have been a little bit underrated. I think that'll be much closer by the end of the season than what you're saying.
Okay, let's put it online. The fans can have their say at Triple M Melb on Twitter. Who would you rather, Christian Petrarca or Jordan Degoey?
What do you think, Em?
I'm with Joey. I think at the moment, based on form, you've got to go with Degoey. But I understand your long-range prospects. It's, you know, sometimes you've got to keep the future in mind. But, you know, wait and see. Up next, St Kilda's Callum Wilkie ahead of the season proper. You're listening to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Dead Set Legends with Joey J and Emma for your Saturday morning. Well, this weekend, most AFL clubs will have their final Marsh Series hitouts before the season begins in a week and a half's time. The Saints will face Collingwood tomorrow. It's happening at 3:50 in the afternoon. This morning, though, one of their most consistent from 2019 and an integral part of their defence, defender Callum Wilkie joins us on the line to talk us through the Saints preseason prep. Good morning, Callum. I'm guessing you're pretty keen to get this season underway. It's a long time in between drinks.
Morning, guys. Obviously, it's been a long pre-season, but it's come around quick since Christmas, so keen to get stuck into the season.
Hey, Callum, congratulations on last year and everything you've been able to do since stepping in to the AFL. Interesting for St Kilda this year, and I had a chat to them this week. He said the priority, as much as anything for you guys this year, is the connectivity and cohesion off the field as much as anything. I mean, with an interesting playing list, there's a lot of young guys and a few older guys, but can you tell us about some of the stuff you're doing off the field to really enhance those bonds and friendships?
Yeah, it's probably just more in terms of getting to know each other more on a personal level. I feel like we have to think big on that in terms of if you get to know someone more on a personal level, it sort of helps you on the on-field in terms of one, being harder on each other and sort of just wanting to get the best out of each other. So we've done activities like little camps, dinners, all those sort of things to sort of just sort of get away from football a little bit and sort of get to know each other a bit better.
Surely Rats just locks you in a pub and just shuts a door.
that was the old days. Yeah, well, that's how we used to do it.
But in all seriousness, didn't you go to Ballarat and Danny Frawley's residence and slept under the stars? Can you tell us about that story?
We did. We went up to Ballarat. We stayed on Dan Butler's property up there and got Shuey Lowe to come up, and we went out to dinner in Ballarat. That was a really nice evening. We also went to Spud's Farm, which was really touching, heard from Anita. And that was just a really sort of intimate moment as a club. So that was just a great way to sort of share some stories, have some fun, just sort of sit around a campfire and just sort of get to know each other a bit better.
We're speaking to underrated Saints defender Callum Wilkie.
I don't underrate him.
I think in the greater, wider football landscape. And I wanted to ask you about that, Callum, because you played 22 games in your first season last year, coming across as a mature age recruit. Did you surprise yourself a little bit to play 22 games and become such an important member of the Saints team so quickly, or did you have those expectations that you could do that?
I've had expectations to sort of want to come in and make an impact straight away, but we obviously had some good defenders down there with Dylan Robin and Jay Tarr, and then obviously they went down injured early in the pre-season, so that gave me the opportunity to come in and obviously try to make it a position for myself. So I was sort of looking at that opportunity for injuries.
I think we might
just
be losing.
Take a step,
Callum,
to your left there.
Yeah.
Point the phone to the sky.
sorry, say that again.
Yeah.
Keep going. Yeah, go. Yeah. Sorry, mate. We just couldn't hear you there. You broke up.
It was just for opportunity, I reckon, with Carlisle and Robin getting injured. So I was lucky enough to take the opportunity for all those injuries and sort of grab that with both hands. But so I was lucky enough with them. going down.
Interesting story as well, Callum. Like, you're a former accountant, I hear. Like, the difference between working the calculator in the office and then going and playing AFL footy now at the highest possible level, they're vastly different. Do you approach your game with more numbers in mind? Like, I imagine some boys, you know, look at things in a more emotional perspective, but do you like to study stats? Is that kind of in your blood?
Funny to say that, no, it's not really. I've always sort of played the game the same, that before I was an accountant and then being an accountant. Obviously, I like to look at numbers a little bit, but not the typical way that I guess accountants love numbers, but no, I just play the game like I said.
And Callum, you would have spent a fair bit of the summer matched up on Max King or seen him at close quarters. He is the massively exciting thing for St Kilda this year, along with Brad Hill. How's the, they call him Winks? You call Max King Winks?
His legs look like horse legs, with every single vein you could possibly imagine, and then some are popping out. It's almost disgusting, to be honest.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad, something I didn't know. Now I've learned it this morning. Hey, thank you so much for joining us, Callum. We know that the Saints are on a big membership drive at the moment. Yeah, they want 50,000 members. Visit saintsmembership.com.au or call 1300 467 246 today. Saints fans, together we rise. We wish you the best of luck for the season ahead, Callum.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, mate.
On you, Callum. I'm going to pick your brains on that, on the back of this. Just what St Kilda are doing off the field. Man, a lot of the focus for a lot of clubs is on field, structure, getting all that right. St Kilda are looking off field and really zeroing in, getting that Richmond type bond, which is the big thing in the AFL now. So that's, I'm going to ask you in a second.
Okay, let's address that. You marinate with that, Joey. We're speaking about St Kilda right here on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Why I chose to reveal that is beyond me. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey J and Emma. We're just chatting to Callum Wilkie.
Emma. I was like, man. Have you got the Lynx Africa on today? Or?
No, it's a Rexona, Dale. It's a bit more classy than Lynx Africa.
Okay.
Charlie doesn't like it that I use it either. But
no, I don't mind it.
It does smell better. Let's just be clear. The women's one smell really sweet and bleh.
Gold. Yeah. Sorry, Emma, what were you saying?
We're chatting to Callum Wilkie from St Kilda just before. He was a lovely chap. Yeah. And you were talking about things that St Kilda are trying to do in 2020 to get the cohesion on the field. They have to get cohesion off the field, correct?
Yes. So a big appointment for the Saints over the last 6 months has been David Rath. So he was the biomechanical guru and trends guru from Hawthorn, went to the AFL to combat the congestion issue. So he's a very intelligent man who's breaking down a lot of on-field stuff. But his priority at St Kilda, Joey, has been developing the off-field connections. They sort of did some work on this sort of stuff and found that they had lots of different groups of small groups of friends, right, if you know what I mean. Yep. So as opposed to maybe the Bulldogs or the Richmond, who had bigger groups of friends, and that just has sort of happened naturally. Was it, when you left the club, did you find that? Did you find that they didn't have the bonds throughout at the group? Because it's a huge focus, I think, for all clubs, the humanistic side of...
Yeah, look, there is an element of... And no doubt St Kilda's had a fair list turnover the last couple of years. It's been well documented, the amount of new players that have come in. So that's always important to try and get a bit of cohesion off the field. But we always spoke about when we played, and one of the things that we spoke a lot about was being the difference between being liked versus respected. Mm-hmm. It's okay to be liked. It's okay to be the most popular guy at the footy club. But if you're not respected for the way you play and what you're bringing to the team, that's what's more important. And I think that as much as you can do things off the field and you can be friends and you can go out together, at the end of the day, the trust and the chemistry and the cohesion comes from being respected and trusted as a teammate on the field. That's where it comes from. So you can be the most likable bloke at the footy club, but if you're not trusted on the field, it's irrelevant. So I think there's an element, and you speak about Richmond and those sorts of things. They built that chemistry as much as it was off field, but also by trusting what each other did on the field, playing selfless, giving great effort every time they played, And that's where you build it from. So I get that the off-field part's important, but really it all comes from building trust and respect on the field by the way you play.
The great hallmark of your St Kilda side, that 209, 210, is that you are still all great mates though, right?
Mm. And we're great mates off the back of that we all respected and the way that we played together.
It's different, you're saying,
Yeah, you build that trust and rapport from looking at your teammate next to me and go, I know what Lenny Hayes gave me and Luke Ball, and you build that. We've got a lot of guys that were really nice fellas, but they're not part of our group anymore because they were just nice fellas but didn't contribute on the field to the level that you have with guys that you trusted as a teammate.
Mm.
While we're here, I wanted to mention that I saw a movie this week just randomly or just at home, and I don't get to the cinema very often now because I've got a 10-month-old. But I saw Ford versus Ferrari, which is the movie with Christian Bale and Matt Damon. Great sporting movie.
So good.
So, you see it, Rosie?
Loved it.
Really, yeah?
Really loved it.
It's a bit long, if we're being honest. It's 2.5 hours, which I think a movie should be capped at 2 hours. 2.5 is, you really had to almost do it over 2 nights, if I'm being serious. But it was a really good movie. The performance of Christian Bale was absolutely unbelievable, and an amazing story about Ken Miles as well. The reason we're talking about this is because we've got some tickets to give away to the Formula One Rolex Australian Grand Prix 2020, celebrating its 25th year at the moment. Nice tie in with the Ford versus Ferrari and also that. But I actually wanted to ask you on a different tact, what's your favourite sporting movie? Can you maybe think about that?
Oh, absolutely. I've got a favourite. Mine is White Men Can't Jump.
Oh, save it.
Oh, save it.
Hooking and teasing, darling.
All right, I'll tease it. White Men Can't Jump. I'm going to talk all about it after this.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Emma for your Saturday morning. We're asking what your favourite sporting movie is of all time. Joey, what's your favourite sporting movie of all time?
White Men Can't Jump. I love it. That, one of the all-time greats, Woody Harrelson, Wesley Snipes. I remember it as a teenager playing a bit of street ball, and the white fella to the side out beat all the black fellas and dominated, and it's still one of the all-time greats today.
Jay-Z.
The first time I saw White Men Can't Jump was next to my mum in a cinema, and there's like a bit
some boobs.
There's a raunchy scene.
Oh, no, that was the exact same as me. I was a teenager, yeah. And remember, I was doing the exact same with my mum, and we saw some boobs.
So mum covers my eyes.
Yeah,
my
no!
eyes.
That's exactly in the
cinema.
I remember the same thing.
I'm like, mum?
Yep.
Like, it's just, I will never forget it. Jeez, it was a bit embarrassing, but you know, when you're only 10 years old.
What about you, Jay-Z? What's your favourite sporting movie of all time?
I actually watched this last week after I had my knee surgery, a bit of time on the couch. Major League, the baseball one.
Yeah.
Wesley Snipes and Charlie Sheen, you know, wild thing.
Yep.
You know, the Clevelands, they just make this extraordinary comeback and rise up the ladder. I remember that from when I was a kid.
Yep.
I watched that 30
times.
People
listening in the car, if you haven't seen these movies, do yourself a favour. Get on Netflix or you'll be able to find it somewhere these days.
Rent them from the Video Easy or whatever. Yeah, we do have tickets to give away to the Formula One Rolex Australian Grand Prix 2020, celebrating its 25th year. You and a mate could be heading along. Mick from Dingley has given us a call. What's your favourite sporting movie, Mick?
Oh, the Blades of Glory
with Will Ferrell.
Is that the comedy?
Is that really a sporting film?
Yeah,
yes, it is.
Clutching at straws there. No, it is.
What's that about again? Ice skating?
Yeah, it's about the ice. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think
it's like ice dancing, right?
Funny.
Very funny.
Okay. Yeah. Mick, you're a funny bloke as well. Bart from Brighton, what's your favourite sporting movie of all time?
The ones that you guys just had were more commercial than mine. Mine's a classic, On Any Sunday. It's a motorbike movie from the 70s.
Right. What's it called again?
On Any Sunday.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That. You really rate it. You reckon we should have a look at it?
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. Yeah, it was a dead set classic for back in the day. It's all to do with all bike racing on Sundays. So, dirt bikes, road bikes, yeah, it's a classic movie.
A few stacks.
Hmm.
Bit of action.
I've got a surf tech for you as well. I'm down at Phillip Island. Up at the point there is it's about 1 to 2 foot and glassy.
Beautiful. A little surfer thing as well.
There you go.
A little report there. Thank you, Bart. Tony and Carrum Downs, finally, what's your favourite sporting movie?
Hi, guys. It's got to be Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner.
Good call.
Yeah. How good's Kevin?
If you build it.
Yeah.
They will come.
Yeah, it was a great movie. And actually, about 5 years ago, I made the trip over to visit the field in Iowa.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You love it that much, do you?
I do, actually. Yeah, it's still all there, and you can take a little tour of the field. There's a little souvenir shop. It's got all the cornfields around the whole Diamond. It's a really cool place, actually.
What souvenir did you go for? A little fridge magnet?
Yeah.
I got a baseball.
Nice. That's nice. In the glass case? In the plastic case?
Yeah, in a little Perspex case with the little Field of Dreams logo on it.
Oh, well, that just sounds delightful. A keepsake forever. Tony, thanks for giving us a call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Write them all down on your list. If you've got some spare time before the footy starts in 2 weekends' time, maybe you could watch one next weekend. Yes, JC?
I would say Any Given Sunday, right up there also.
Yep.
And Moneyball, more
recently. Oh, Moneyball's a terrific film,
that
isn't it?
On draft day.
Karate Kid, can that count as a sport?
Yeah, karate's a sport.
Yeah.
I, Tonya.
Oh, that's Tonya.
Yes.
Blood Sport, does that count? Do we get that in the top 10? Do you remember that?
Yeah,
Jean, kickboxer.
Yes,
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I think Jean-Claude's in town at the moment. Good morning, Jean-Claude. We will put this online at Triple M Melb on our Twitter page. If you want to contribute to the discussion, maybe we can develop a little bit of a list for people to take a look at.
In the air there.
Yeah. Okay. Plenty more to come here on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey J and Emma for your Saturday morning. We're doing it thanks to Jack Link's Beef Jerky. It never lets you down. Its delicious chew makes the eating experience last longer than other snacks. It's more filling, high in protein, low in GI, so it can power you through the day. Plus, it's low fat and has no added preservatives, so it's healthy as well as delicious. Find it in your supermarket snack aisle today. When we heard that Jack Link's were joining us on the program, our mate here, Jay-Z, Joey, came up with a terrific idea on the WhatsApp group.
Just some of my best work.
It is.
Oh, you want me to do it? Have we got a sting or anything?
No stinger. Okay. This is a trial. This is a trial.
See what you think.
So if it goes well, we can continue it, but we're just giving you the airtime today to air your idea.
Okay, so this is going to be the Jack Link's Beef Jerky of the Week.
Yeah.
Jerk of the Week, you get it? And we're going to start with Virat Kohli. He's been an absolute knob this week, hasn't he? He has. He's been a goose. We all know he's a bit of a goose. He got in trouble because one of his teammates tried to call for a two and go for a run when the New Zealanders were batting. Then tried to stick up for him and he got all narky. And we know what Virat Kohli's like. So he's the Beef Jerky of the Week. Huh. Thanks to Jack Links.
How'd that go? Jay-Z? Yeah, I thought it was good.
I reckon that
might last a week.
I'm still trying to work out what happened last break when Emma's trying to throw this great tease. She teased it so well, you actually jumped on the hook.
I was thinking about what was my favourite sporting movie, and as I was thinking, I then lost track of what Emma said, and then it came out of my mouth. I apologise.
Let's get up to radio. Last night, Joey. Sort of. Yeah.
Hooking and teasing. Coming up after 11, Jay-Z, you've got your top five storylines of the AFL season to watch out for. One of them involving a coach. Not under pressure, but his season means the most out of anybody else. Is that fair to say? Victorian coach.
I'm going to say toot toot.
Oh, I can't.
Nice little hint at the Teague train.
Oh, you're just giving away the hint. You just said David Teague.
Why?
Oh, my God.
Do I even bother?
Well, when I said the toot toot didn't seem to get much of a reaction.
It was a hint.
It's called hook. Oh, my God. Plenty more to come on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Yeah, Triple M's Dead Set Legends, thanks for joining us. A big second hour coming up, including the top five stories of the season to watch. Jay-Z has been working feverishly to get these prepared, including what will happen to Joe Danaher and his tenure at Essendon. But earlier in the program, Jay-Z, you did ask us a pick one. Who would you rather, Jordan Dugowie or Christian Petrarca? We put it online on our socials. Fair to say that this is a majority. This is a whitewash. 79% saying Jordan Dugowie over Christian Petrarca. I love this from Sean, though. A closer pick one would be Richmond or Gold Coast for the flag.
I told you, Jay. The people have spoken. It wasn't your finest pick one.
I think that the gap between the two, which is obviously clear. So Dugowie's kicked three goals in a grand final was excellent. And Christian Petrarca has been a little bit unfulfilled. So we know there is a gap. I think that gap is really going to close. From what we've seen, because he's added the tank. We know he's got he's a great
the
kick
talent.
In traffic.
We know he's got the talent. Yeah.
Yep. He's got the great kick in traffic. He can win the contested pill, but it looks like he's got that V8 motor. And so I think he can reach almost Jordan Dugowie levels.
Right.
Well, that's what it's sort of looking like. We know Jordan Dugowie's got a big contract to sign. Right. It's interesting that one in four people actually are saying Christian, because I thought that would actually be a wider gap, but still one in four are saying the Demon, which is interesting for mine. I thought it'd be a bigger disparity.
Let's touch on a little bit of footy news. Tom Hurd, a new signing for Essendon this week. Of course, son of the great James Hurd. What can you tell us?
So he's 19. He had a stint. He's a gun soccer player, Joey.
Right.
And then had a stint in for Ajax. He didn't sign there, but he's back and he plays, I think, local soccer for Port Melbourne or thereabouts. Now, I was talking to an Essendon player about 18 months ago when Tom came in for a bit of an academy training session. He said that Tom ran rings around all their other early picks, all the other young guys, and he was training for soccer at the time. He wasn't even really kicking the footy. So he does have great skill and a huge tank. I think this is not only hugely exciting for his on-field potential, but I think great that a Hurd
back at the club.
He's back at the club. Given everything that's happened, I think that there's, you know, hopefully no acrimony at all. That he's the young bloke. There's obviously trust in there, having the young bloke back at Essendon. I think this is just a great footy story at the minute.
Yeah, and clearly he's a project player. So, Tom, yeah. Is he tall? What size is he? Is he a good size?
He's tallish. Tall? I think he's about 190-ish,
yeah,
I think.
Okay. Yep.
So he's just got great skills. And
good to watch his development in the VFL then this year.
When the player said he just turned heads and he wasn't even there was like a bit of a one-off training session.
Right.
I think there's some exciting upside.
All right, well, up next, Sophie Molyneux from the Australian cricket side. She's going to join us. What's the Aussies' secret weapon to beat India tomorrow at the G? She'll let us in on their planning next on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey J and Emma for your Saturday morning. Well, against all odds on Thursday night, the Aussies won their semi-final against South Africa at a soggy SCG to make it to the final of the T20 World Cup against fierce rivals India. It's going to be a huge day tomorrow. The aim, of course, to be the most attended women's sport event in history. Now, despite injury concerns, the Aussies have continued to grow during the competition and now they have a chance to take out the title. All-rounder Sophie Molyneux is part of the squad and joins us now. Good morning to you, Sophie. Tell us how excited the team is for tomorrow.
Good morning, guys. We're all pretty pumped. That yesterday, we sort of woke up after that semi. It actually felt like the start of the AFL Grand Final week to build up. So it's, these couple of days have been pretty special, and I think tomorrow's going to be even better.
The stage is set, Sophie. It's going to be very exciting against the Indians, of course. But Poonam Yadav, she had us in an absolute spin in the early tournament game. India won. What have you done to combat her? Do you do some video analysis or more spin practice? She seems like the big threat.
Yeah, absolutely. She definitely had the upper hand of us in round one a couple of weeks ago. But we sort of, straight after that game, we sort of sat down, did a bit of reflecting, and even, you know, since then, like, we hadn't we always knew that there's a potential to come up against her again, so we definitely had a net pretty much set up to face that sort of bowling every training session since. So I've also played Bangladesh and Sri Lanka since, who've got very similar bowlers, so we've definitely had her in the back of our minds, and come tomorrow, hopefully we're going to be a bit more ready to play her.
Sophie, has there been much talk amongst the girls in the camp about potentially playing in front of over 90,000 people? International Women's Day, there's the talk that it could be the most attended women's sporting event in history. Has that been discussed amongst each other and the excitement, or are you trying to just do the old stay focused, worry about the cricket and let the rest take care of itself?
Look, I think it'd be pretty sort of naive of us, and we have to be sort of hiding under a rock to not sort of bring that up every now and then, because, you know, just to I actually don't think it's an intimidating or scary thing either. I think it's, you know, just an amazing opportunity for us as a group to be able to be involved in on a day what could potentially be one of the biggest and most specialist in history. I think it's all well and good and pretty healthy to be able to talk about it and to get really excited about it, because as I said, it's pretty special, and it's to be a part of it. It's going to be really cool.
We're speaking to Australian cricketer all-rounder Sophie Molyneux this morning. Sophie, of course, Elise Perry out of last game and the final as well. You got the job done in the end, but has there been any more discussion about what her absence means for the side? Because not only is she terrific on field, but she seems like an amazing leader for you guys too.
Yeah, Pez is, you know, obviously she's one of the best, if not the best cricketer in the world. And, you know, on the field, we're definitely going to miss her. And off the field, she's, you know, she's played a massive role, and it's been a credit to her. And I've also got Taylor Vollemick, who was ruled out at the start of the tournament, who have both been, you know, heavily involved off the field, and just shows, you know, their character, the way they've gone about the last few days is, you know, it's definitely made everyone else in the squad sort of, you know, actually appreciate, you know, where we are and what we're doing. And we've definitely really, really taken a lot from those two and the way they've held themselves over the last couple of days. But, yeah, definitely we've missed those two on the field. But, you know, we've got a deep squad, and you'd like to think that, you know, all 15 in our group are ready to go and could all play in a World Cup final.
Sophie, just quickly, before we let you go, and we wish you the absolute best of luck tomorrow. The game doesn't start till 6 o'clock. How on earth are you going to fill in that day? I'd probably be quite anxious about it. What are you going to do? Watch a movie, go for a walk? What do you get up to?
I'm probably going to drink a bit of coffee and have Katy Perry on shuffle beforehand. But, look, it seems to go pretty quick those days. We've played a couple of night games now. So, my family, they're from country Victoria, and they've all made the trip down. So I might try and catch up with them tomorrow morning and just try and make it as normal as possible. But, I think you also sort of soak it up as well, because it's not too often you're getting ready to play in front of 90,000. So, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, keep it relaxed, but get excited. Sophie, thank you so much for joining us on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Of course, tickets still available to the MCG for the Women's T20 World Cup final between Australia and India tomorrow night starting at 6 p.m. We wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck, Sophie.
Thank you.
See you, Sophie.
Coming up next, Jay-Z's got his top 5 storylines to watch for the season ahead. You're not going to want to miss them. They're coming up in the next couple of breaks here on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Emma for your Saturday morning. We're about to get into the top 5 stories to watch this season. But if you are missing your footy at the moment, this afternoon on Triple M, we have a double header of the Marsh Community Series. Port Adelaide up against the Western Bulldogs from Whyalla at 4 p.m. this afternoon. And then it's the Western Derby, the West Coast Eagles up against Fremantle from 7 p.m. this evening. Now, Jay-Z, you've gone through and picked out what you think are going to be the top 5 stories of the season. Let's start at number 5.
First, for me is Geelong and whether they're going to have a Golden State Warriors type slide down the ladder in 2020, Joey. Now, this is a team that finished on top of the ladder. We know how consistent they have been, but with Tim Kelly going, Selwood Hawkins, 31, Harry Taylor, 33, they just get a bit older. Jack Stevens, still a little bit. You know, it'd be interesting to see what he produces. And no doubt people say they've got all those games down at Geelong. But the level of teams they play down in Geelong this year is very high. So it's West Coast Eagles, top 4 team. GWS, top 4 team. Bulldogs, we all think, will explode. Melbourne down there at GMHBA Stadium. Brisbane Lions as well. So their home games are a lot more difficult. A team that finished first before the finals, are they the ones who are most vulnerable?
I'm not as concerned as you about Geelong. I still think there's a lot to like about them. Now, you say Golden State Warriors slide. That might happen if Patrick Dangerfield misses the whole season, mm-hmm. and Tom Hawkins misses the whole season, like Clay Thompson and Steph Curry. But otherwise, I think what's underrated about Geelong is their young talent is actually very good.
Who?
So guys like Brandon Parfitt, Quentin Narkle, Jordan Clark, who missed a lot of footy last year, Asava Radigalia coming along. I still think they've got a lot of young talent at Geelong. And I do think that their home ground advantage is significant. I know you mentioned some good teams there, but it's probably better to play the good teams on your home ground than have to play West Coast or GWS at the MCG or at their home ground. So I still think they'll make the finals, Geelong. I think enough home games, their best players are still hungry and determined, and they've got enough young talent that I think is a little bit underrated. So I'm not as concerned about Geelong. The one for me that I think can slide, if there is a team, I think it's the Brisbane Lions.
Really?
I think
they're on the rise. Young list.
They were,
Joey? They were last year. I can maybe, not as drastic as Melbourne. I don't see Brisbane dropping down to the bottom 4 in the ladder, but I just think last year they had no injury. If you remember, they were injury-free the whole year. And then as soon as they missed Mitch Robinson in the finals, what a difference it made. You know, one player. I think they still rely on a too few. You know, if Charlie Cameron or Lachie Neal or a couple of those guys get injured, I think they'll underestimate the impact of Luke Hodge retiring, just as that on-field coach to organise the back line. And their game style, it's a relatively simple style of footy. They're the widest team in the competition. They kick long. I can see them not winning as many games as last year. They still might sneak into the eight, but if they do, they're definitely the bottom sort of four of the eight.
Interesting.
All right, predictions coming up next weekend ahead of the season opener, but let's go to your top four story of the year to do with scoring, Jay-Z.
And has it already been a huge story over the past couple of years? We've got we're in the middle of a scoring drought, Joey. So yep. It was a 42-year low last year, or lowest since 1967, 80.4 points per game. You are all over the tactics and trends. Are we going to see an increase in scoring, an increase the game desperately wants?
Nope. No, we're not. Ooh. Scoring's not going up. Scoring is not going up the way teams are playing, the way teams have figured that they need to win, and it's all about being set defensively behind the ball. Every team is going to be really sound behind the football. Even when they've got the ball in hand, they're going to be organised, they're going to play a bit slower. You're not going to see many teams play fast footy anymore and risk being turnover. The Bulldogs might, but we know they've got a very unique style with their high handball and a lot of numbers. Essendon were a team that played like that. I think you'll see a different style from Essendon a little bit. They'll slow it down and try and play the ball
less
in their
front.
I can see the scoring still staying really low.
And
it's
is
not
that a
going
concern
up.
For you? Like, is football less
no,
appealing because of it?
No, it's not. It's not because we're getting closer contests. We're now getting the Gold Coast Suns being able to win games and other teams that might not have as much talent being able to compete. So we've got to be careful if we want high scores. Do we want to see a team kick 23 goals and the other team kick 16 and they lose by 7 goals and it's never close? Or would you rather see, you know, 12 goals to 10 and it's still a contest with 10 minutes to go in the game? What would you rather?
I like the tension. Yeah. I mean, for me, one of the great grand finals was Sydney West Coast. Was it 2005?
Yep.
2006. So I don't mind that. But clearly, the game's Chiefs want more goals.
And of course they do.
And the changes they introduced probably haven't resulted in
saying it hasn't. No, and it won't. There'll be still defensive football.
Jay-Z, number three, will the league's best player remain the league's best player?
Well, is Dustin Martin the best big game player in the competition? He's one of four players already, Joey, or one of only four players to have two Norm Smith medals. Luke Hodge, probably the best big game player of our generation. Andrew McLeod's also up there as well. Gary Ayres has two Norm Smiths. But Dusty Martin could become potentially the most decorated player in the game. He's got a Brownlow, he's got two flags, he's got two Norm Smiths, and he enters this season probably as what, the number one or number two player in the game up there with Fife and Cripps, maybe. We'd put this bloke on a pedestal.
Yep.
In a crunch moment, would you rather anyone else with the footy in their hands?
No. And I agree. And I think we're not going to be able to answer that question until finals time again, because he's probably not going to finish his career with the most best and fairest and the most all Australians, because we've seen a lot of players that have won six or seven best and fairest. Dustin doesn't really play for that.
Yep.
But he plays on the big stage. And if he does it again in September, potentially wins a third Norm Smith, or at least just dominates another final series, I think you can argue that he will go past Hodge and McLeod as the best finals performer of all time.
Yeah, he eats pressure for breakfast. And I think, 2 years ago, he had a motivation issue. Speaking to people at Richmond, no problems there this year.
Right.
He's hungry.
It's scary, isn't it? Okay, you've got your top two stories for 2020 coming up after the break, one of which surrounding an Essendon player and the next a coach who is most under pressure, would we say, Jay-Z?
Should I do the sound again?
They're going to... Please don't. Going to feature on the back page of the paper heavily throughout the season. And you're listening to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey J and Emma for your Saturday morning. We are right in the thick of the top five stories of the 2020 AFL season, as written by Jay-Z, what he's predicting to happen. Number two, what is it?
Carlton are going to be an absolutely massive story all year. You remember last year, Joey and Em, when David Teague, he was pressing for the Carlton senior coaching job. He goes into that function of all the Carlton greats, etc., and they all give him a standing ovation, 1,000 people in the room, and that's before he even got the job. So the excitement is absolutely top-notch. It is high, Joey.
Yep.
But are they going to deliver on this potential? Because I think we are all thinking that they're a 10-win sort of team, or should be. But with Charlie Curnow not due back until the midpoint of the year, Harry Mackay has had an interrupted year. We know McGovern's been out. Sam Walsh is still their second-best midfielder.
Yep.
He's been around for 5 minutes. So much is still on Patrick Cripps. And if they lose some games early, It's going to be an interesting discussion around Carlton because their fans have just been so patient. Yeah. Where have you got the Blues in 2020? Yeah. Are they going to seriously trouble the better teams?
Look, everyone can trouble the better teams on any given day. Will they do it consistently enough week in, week out? No, I don't think so at this stage. Again, I've got Carlton in that group of about, as I said, seven or eight teams that won't, I don't think will play finals. They'll have to have everything go right for them to play finals, but they might finish, you know, 11th, 12th, 10th, 13th, you know. But is that justifying the hype? If they win 9 or 10 games, what do we make of that? That's what I'm not sure about Carlton.
I think 10 wins would be a tick.
A big tick?
Yeah.
But they've got to be on the right trajectory. They have to continue with it. 10 wins, I think, should be their aim. I mean, of course, they want to play finals. I don't think they're quite there yet. But you're right, they should be winning more games.
They get Doherty back, who's going to be huge. He's an All-Australian halfback flank. You look at their first month. Richmond going to be hard in the season opener. Western Bulldogs, we all think, going to be very good. Essendon at the MCG.
They back themselves in to win that.
We'll see what happens there. And then Sydney Swans at the SCG. They beat them up there, beat them over there.
Yep.
Sorry, last year. And then Hawthorn, North Melbourne, and Port Adelaide over there.
So
it's
going to
be an interesting year for Carlton. I reckon it's sort of still a bit thin ice.
What's the headline that's going to dominate the papers all year round, Jay-Z?
The microscope on Joe Danaher, I think, this year will be absolutely forensic. When he does play, it's going to be his body language, which has been an issue in the past or had been a discussion point in the past. Is he engaged? Is he committed? Does he want to be there? Or is he thinking that I'm going to go to Sydney at the end of the year anyway? I mean, he was disappointed he didn't get that trade. Joey, does Joe Danaher set himself knowing that he's probably not going to be back in the senior team till after round 10 from that groin rehab anyway?
Look, I think when he gets back in the second half of the year, he, as a proud athlete, and will want to perform, but he's going to take a lot of time to get back to playing anywhere near his best. I mean, there was talk about Tom Lynch and his first half of the year at Richmond, after what he was coming off with, you know, no pre-seasons and surgeries and whatever. 2 years Joe Danaher really hasn't played for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't expect a lot. So there is going to be a lot of noise about him. I think he'll just want to get out on the park and just play footy. Just play. And he does love the game.
Yep.
So I think he'll be happy when he's out there. There will be a lot of noise about it. The question mark is then what the Sydney, if they do go in again, what they give up for him. Because all of a sudden you've got a player that is not a top three key forward in the comp anymore.
No, he's not.
He's now a player that, you know, it's a big question mark. So Sydney might be able to get him for nothing.
Well, that's the thing. So Sydney didn't offer pick five for him this year.
Well, you wouldn't. No way.
So what? Just say he plays 10 games and kicks 25 goals. What do you think he could, what could he be worth? If you're throwing the dart now.
Second round pick.
Really?
I think so.
Yeah.
You've got to see him back on the park and see what sort of footballer is back there. Groins are a bad one. Groins, we've seen a lot of good players over my time that when you get bad groins, it's very hard to get back to your best, especially a player like Joe Danaher that relies on his spring and his athleticism and his power. If you've got bad groins, I've seen a lot of players never get back to their full potential when they've had groin injuries.
He is a free agent, so the compensation Essendon would get back depends on what he's going to get paid by Sydney. And if he gets paid, say, 4 years at 650, that's about the threshold or thereabouts, then that will trigger a first-round draft
pick.
And that depends on where Essendon finish. Yep. So if they finish third last and he gets four by 650, then they get pick four.
Really?
Yeah, which is great. So it depends if he does go as a free agent or whether Essendon do block that and then force a trade like Adelaide did with Dangerfield.
Essendon are the fascination for me, where they'll be as a team this year. I mean, they are a team you talk about with talent to be a finals team like they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't surprise me if they were bottom. I know a lot of other people think if they were bottom four, it wouldn't really shock the world. They are a fascination. A lot of injuries, a lot of players haven't done pre-seasons, the whole coaching situation. The Bombers are going to be, for me, you know, I knew you said Carlton, the Bombers will be a big watch for me in 2020.
Great job, boys. Up next weekend, you're going to do all of your pre-season predictions for 2020, including the top eight, the wooden spoon, the premiership. Maybe a Brownlow and a Coleman medal as well. So
and
get
a couple
thinking
of big calls.
Oh, big calls. We're doing big calls again, are we? I love it. All right, get your thinking cap on because they're all coming up next weekend on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey J and Emma for your Saturday morning. Oh, I tell you what, I love doing Give Me a Spell every week, but this one has got to be the Give Me a Spell of the year, if not the decade, if not of a generation. Let's do it.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Just two words. Toilet paper.
It's
for God's sake. Can it just stop?
I agree.
It's, oh, my God.
I was in Woolies this week when I got mine and just timed it well. Fresh pallet had just arrived.
Right.
Yeah. And I saw people running up the aisles. I've never seen that before. Like full-grown people. Adults.
It's not supermarket
I've seen
sweep.
My kids do it all the time. But
in Sydney, someone pulled a knife on someone else in the supermarket over toilet paper. Do you know what they're doing now? There are people that are buying toilet paper and hand sanitizers as investments and then putting them on eBay to sell at a higher price.
Yeah.
And someone was selling toilet paper, 32 rolls of toilet paper for $500 on eBay. Right. There were three people watching it. Like,
on their watch list.
The world's gone mad.
Yeah.
The world has gone mad, and the world's gone mad for toilet paper.
I've also got another bone to pick. Tell me what you think about this. Last week at the train station, I saw a person with Ugg boots, wearing Ugg boots outdoors at the train station.
As now, a fashion statement.
I think so. Now, I've got Ugg boot firmly as an indoor boot only. And
what
Rosie's,
about to take the bins out?
Rosie's smiling. You're an outdoor.
I'm an outdoor Ugg boot wearer.
I'm with Rosie on that. I've got no problem with that.
Oh, no, I'm with you, Jay Z.
Give me a spell, both of you.
Happy to wear them outside. I'll wear
really?
Them next week.
But then, are you wearing them to work, though, Dale?
Yeah, on a weekend.
No, you're not.
But not with Eddie in the morning, no.
But if you wear them
definitely
outside.
Not going to get your suit pressed for that.
But if you wear them outside, you can't then wear them inside, can you?
Yes, like normal shoes.
What do you mean you don't wear shoes inside?
No.
This is a revelation. You take your shoes off at the front door.
Oh, you're one of those families.
Oh, no, that's not for me.
We got carpet in our bedrooms.
Yeah, same.
Oh, I forgot. Use a vacuum. Give me a spell. You are a give me a spell right here.
Have you two shorts going to bed at night time as well?
No, one pair of shorts.
With boxer shorts underneath.
One pair of pants.
And no shoes. Oh, we're going to do our Dead Set Multi and our Dead Set Legend of the Week coming up next. So stay tuned for that right here on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Emma for your Saturday morning. To round out our show each week, we have attempted to do the, to do this actually.
Yeah! One knows what she's talking about.
Blow my own trumpet for a little second.
One thinks he does.
Wow.
And the other has no idea.
I felt a bit left out.
It's the Dead Set Multi of the Week.
It is, and I today am taking the reins, and I'm looking fairly and squarely at my two colleagues here, Jay Clark, Emma Friedman. I need you to lift for our multi. I need you to lift because I can't keep carrying the load here. Just to refresh your memories,
let's take a listen to
last week's multi, please. And I spoke to someone yesterday who is very, very bullish that Carlton can go over to Adelaide and upset the Crows.
Ooh.
They are very confident, Carlton.
Yep.
They are $4 to beat the Adelaide Crows.
No.
And I think they will get the job done. So
four
I'm
bucks.
Taking Carlton at $4. Carlton
Jeez,
will cause an
one.
Upset and they'll beat the Crows. I was wrong. They got out to $4.50. And
well, they were down three goals early.
They were down three goals early and they got the job done.
Yep.
And then you two couldn't get the multi over the line. So we need to lift today.
It was a nice bet, Joey. Can I start off? I like Portland in the NBA today to do a real job on Phoenix. It's $1.60. Okay, so tick that one off for us, Em.
Okay, we're going to go skinny. Let's go skinny because I just want to win.
Yep.
So I'm not going $4, you know, win bets here. In the Newmarket Handicap at Flemington today, race 7, I believe. Number 6, Exceedance, is the favourite. But I'm going to have the place. I know it's annoying, but it's an excellent field. Exceedance, $1.65, the place to roll into Jay's $1.60 Portland bet.
Well, I'll finish it off with another bet, and I'll stick to what I know best, the AFLW at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Collingwood are taking on the Bulldogs at Morwell tomorrow in a game before the Collingwood St Kilda Marsh Community Series game. I watched the Bulldogs last week. They were very disappointing against West Coast Eagles. Collingwood are a very strong team. I know they've lost Ash Brazel, and that was unfortunate too with her ACL. But I think Collingwood are good things to beat the Western Bulldogs tomorrow. And they're about $1.60, so I think that's pretty good value.
All right, so if you total all those up on your betting app, of course, gamble responsibly, you might be lucky to get north of $4, which is a bit different to our $15 multi last week. But we're after win. I take on the feedback. I take on the feedback. We do need to lift. Jay, are you with me?
I'm with you.
All right.
Jay's a bit flat. You're a bit flat with that, aren't you?
No. He doesn't like criticism, Dale. Have you ever?
I have noticed that. He's a bit
sensitive.
He's
very sensitive. So let's do this.
Not all heroes wear capes, but all legends wear all-day socks by Underworks, the number one to down under for socks.
This is the Dead Set Legend of the Week.
But a champion becomes a legend.
Yeah, the Underworks Dead Set Legend of the Week. Just having a peruse of the Underworks website at the moment, boys. There are some nice things on here. I'm going to maybe pick up a few new pieces for the underwear drawer because, you know, it's getting to the middle of the year. You need to replenish the socks and jocks.
Absolutely.
So.
You can never have enough socks and jocks,
and
Daisy.
You know that I think this new sockless trend is a fad.
Yes.
And that socks are a permanent compulsory garment. Especially the races, etc. I haven't quite got into the no sock thing, so I've seen the socks and they are some colourful, bright ones, some normal ones. You've got your full range. Can't wait to get 10 pairs, Joey.
Well, I'm preempting my Dead Set Legends this week, and they are legends. I'm going to give it to the women's T20 team because they will win. They will win the World Cup tomorrow. So I was just thinking that if you wanted to add your multi and get a little bit extra value, put
we
the
do
women.
That?
Yeah, they're certainly. They will not get beaten in front of 90,000 at the MCG. They'll peak at the right time, and they are going to be our Dead Set Legends of the week. The women's T20 international team taking out the World Cup.
What do you reckon you can get for them? I'm trying to $1.60 peruse. $1.60 as well. All right. Okay, yep. So then you're getting, what, north of about $6, $7. That'd be nice. Let's do a four-leg multi.
$1.50 at the moment. Yep, great value.
Okay.
Because it's a toughish day racing-wise, isn't it?
It's a great day racing. What are you doing? Are you just going to the pub to watch it, Joey? What are you doing? You got the little one today?
Yeah, I got the little one, the Savo. So we'll watch a few races, watch a bit of footy and everything else on, and have a nice day.
And you, Jay-Z?
I think I'm off to National Tiles to get some. I've got to. We got to.
Thanks, Frank Walker.
We got to assess.
I'm sure we'll have a story for there next week, Emma.
Some tiles.
Some Jay's DIYs or his stuff.
You did not wear your shoes in the house.
You are some kind of unit. Thanks for listening to the show, guys. We'll be back to do it again all next Saturday. We're actually going to be live from the All-Star Mile at Caulfield. That's going to be an absolute ripper. 10 o'clock next Saturday on 105.1 Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends is done for another day.
If you have to explain a joke, it's not particularly funny.
Get even more Joey, Jay-Z and Emma by downloading the Triple M app.
Jack Link's beef jerky never lets you down. Find it in your supermarket snack aisle.